questions have been answered. So,
a lot more questions. No, I mean, we were just saying, I mean, I'm mainly observer, and stuff, but it's a lot of questions been answered, a lot of questions been asked. Which is the right
has
way,
it,
should
has it made sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we were saying, well, the good thing about it is it gives, or gives me particularly, a sense of how big the space will actually be, even when the structure's inside it. I mean, we've got this much more sort of longitudinal structure if we keep to this roof pattern that's in here, but it's still on the long axis. Our display area for construction is still as wide as your building there. So it's still going to be, when you first walk in and you tend to look ahead of you, it's still going to look quite impressive. You're
going to
be looking through here to the other end with these a bit more of a forest of posts because of the way that the construction. But in some ways, that will make you think, what's in there? I think
it's going to be extremely exciting. The whole thing, you know, as a piece of museology. It's a tremendous bloody expression.
Museology.
But it's now become accepted, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it called making science out of an art?
I thought it was creating PAs. It is going to be very, very impressive indeed. What's going to be fun, if this is what you want done, is to build it in the open air and then put it inside a building. Because that's what we're proposing to do.
Well, yeah. The intriguing thing in that as a scientific experiment is you will at least see the pattern. With the building that's built, we can then build the pattern of the rest of it, almost just as a plan, and you can actually get a set. You could walk across the whole building out here.
Yeah.
Which you'll never do in here.
Yeah.
But you could actually look at his theory on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be very difficult either, even if you didn't build it, to then photograph it. And
well,
then I could, or somebody could easily, then draw on, you get a sense of the structure,
yeah. Well,
drawn.
Why don't we video the scene? And then you could actually paint in on the video film. Because we can computerize that. And then you just put in the bits you want to put in.
So I mean, easily you just digitize it, and then you put it on an Avid mix, and you can actually build. You could build the hut. Then you can actually walk around it. You can actually animate it on one of these architectural models from the building.
Yeah, we could. That would be fun, wouldn't it?
It's not difficult. I mean, Flash Graphics, who we use, I think they did fly over Roman bars and then into Roman bars, or reconstruct it. The water and changing. I mean, it's all possible. All it takes is a few bottles from somewhere to do. But I mean. You could start something like this, is seeing once you could get this, is can we get some sponsorship from some companies to actually get involved? Okay.
But it means it's an extension of the experiment, doesn't
end.
You're actually moving into a new dimension in the last 10 minutes. You're talking about the experiment.
My job is to get it built on site on time. But I'm just getting enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, but you're right. This is why I think that we should drop the word reconstruction and stay with construct.
Yeah.
I see no problem in talking about an experiment in terms of the exhibition either, because I think the next generation would respect that far more than a fait accompli. And I think that we need to feed the next generation rather than pander the present one. I would suggest. I mean, I think the whole concept is very exciting. As you notice from my facts back to you, bloody enormous. I mean, having built that thing on site, and the sheer quantity of wood in the lump is frightening. It is really frightening. And then you fell a tree in the forest, and you haul it out, and it's sort of 30 centimeters in diameter, which means it's bloody heavy. You shove that on the back of a vehicle, and you realize that is only 1/40th, if you like, of the uprights required. You know that, I was thinking of Asterix and the mansions of the gods. Have you read this? This one is wonderful. to keep blowing trees up. It's exactly like that, building one of these bloody things. I mean, we'll haul in four uprights at a time on a Land Rover for this.
I don't think people realise, even nowadays, how big things are. I was asked the National Museum of Wales to work out the evolution of Wales Gallery. Why was it so difficult to get everything to come together at the end? And I said, does anybody, this was to the director of the museum, have you ever thought how many people are involved in this? And I came to the conclusion, if you discounted production of raw materials, there were 12,000 people who'd been involved actively on that museum gallery to get it finished.
Yeah.
And that was forgetting raw material,
forgetting getting the stuff.
It's an amazing number and volume of things that will go into it. I mean, it would be a shame if it only, even if all that happens is enough structure gets built, enough structure goes in into the gallery, that the recording of it isn't done in such a way, but that, you're not going to get a chance to dig one of these sites for a long, long time. Mm. I mean, I think if we can persuade Stephen that this is the way to go, and it has a long-term spin-off in terms of understanding the archaeology of the island, surely that's got to be a benefit for the long-term programme for MNH. In fact, what I do, all I want is that gallery on time.
Yeah, okay.
But, I mean, it would seem a shame if nothing else comes out of it.
Yeah.
And either you build another one at the same time, you build two up, that's a lot of timber, or you learn from it, and one of the next projects is to build it.
Mm.
Not while you're trying to do this, but as the follow-on. Having found out what's wrong, because if there's a problem with the structure in this, as I said, there is always the get out, we can strap it back.
Oh yeah, we can strap it
against
the wall.
In here, that's not a problem. But you would learn a lot of the things that would come about if you were going to try and do the thing to freestand out on the hillside.
Yeah.
Or in a bog.
See, that's what I genuinely thought you were going to do in the first place. Build it outside.
I
think that this is perfectly feasible, and we'll use mortars and talon joints. We won't use forked timber, primarily because you can't get them.
Yeah.
Well, also they're very cumbersome. Actually, as a joint unit, you occupy more space with the joint than you do. And you don't get any levels either.
No.
I mean, that's one thing we were thinking, is how are these jointed? Because if you use a system supposedly like this, you start occupying inordinate amounts of space just getting the joints.
Yeah.
Whereas if you use more sustenance, you get all your levels.
Yeah. What do you think of the joinery in the house?
Incredibly simple. I mean, it's one of the things that struck me that, apart from say detail things like that door hinge, which I thought was amazing. The simplicity is the key, really.
Well, I just was sent this through the post. It's a thing that came in British Archaeology, whatever that
means. Oh, that! Yeah, I thought it.
And I got deeply pissed off about this. It says, at Butser Farm, the roundhouse roof was pitched at an angle of 45 degrees, and it was thatched by a skilled professional thatcher. I did it. And it goes on to say, this seems to me to have been a mistake, because it means that the thatch was put on in the modern way. Pillocks. On my round houses, by contrast, I simply tied layers of water reeds onto the roofs in the simplest way possible. You can't tie it on more simply than it is on that roof. It's tied on in bundles.
But
the fact that it's put together properly is beside the point.
I think it's presumptuous to think that Iron Age people didn't care what their thatch looked like.
Exactly. Especially a bloody building as big as that. There's 16 acres worth of straw on that roof, 16 ton of it. Now, you don't go out and do that and make a shitty old mess of it, do you? And when you look at the picture, you'll see what I mean. And he goes on, my roof seemed to work extremely well for three reasons. First, because rain runs off and quickly, well, that's the object of any bloody roof, before it has a chance to seep through. That's why roofs are pitched at 45 degrees, not 50, but it doesn't matter. You use more thatch at 50 degrees than anything else. Then she says, a third less thatch than those at Butser Farm, without giving any figures. Now, the standard depth of thatch on any roof is a foot. You know, you can end up with thatch this deep. As we all know, there's a lovely case in Eastmere, you'd like this one, because it's the classic Anne Hathaway cottage. Right? Big gables, huge roof, overhanging the edge of the walls by this much. They had a fire. Right? So they rethatched it. And it now looks like a sort of pimple roof on a great carbuncle of a building. Because it's now thatched as it was when it was new. Right? This thick. And as soon as that begins to wear out, they'll put up what they call a half coat on. So it'll be twice as thick. And if they can't afford it, they'll put yet another half coat on top of that. That's how you end up with these bloody great roofs. A yard and a half thick. But it looked so peculiar when they took this roof off and suddenly Anne Hathaway's cottage was reduced to a sort of straight up and down with an overhanging eave just a foot wide. But I was really pissed off by that. A, she's never read anything I've written. And B, she hasn't understood it. And thirdly, you cannot live in the past. We can't step out of our own time. I don't even want to.
It's a very difficult one, though. Living history science.
It's nonsense. It's an inadequacy in the people involved, you said, not knowing about your own inadequacies, but... I do believe that they find that they cannot cope, and this is a way of releasing stress. So they dress up in funny clothes in order to lose their own personality. They can't cope.
The only one I've ever been to now that has convinced me as a piece of theatre, and it was Danvers Theatre, it was Plymouth Plantation. Because,
that's theatre.
Because they all are characters, and it happens in one, you know, the same year revolves over and over again.
Mm.
And it is the most wonderful 3D theatre.
Yeah.
And if you
works.
Take it for that, it does have a value.
But they get into their Cadillacs and Plymouths and Buicks
right.
and go home at 5 o'clock.
Yes, that's right.
There's none of this bloody nonsense about living in the past at all. They are there as actors. And they are paid as actors.
Yeah.
And they are bloody good.
Well, I mean, it's a good, very good education experience.
Yeah.
My wife had a good hour's discussion with one family about, she asked why the husband wasn't cooking. And because they can't talk about anything beyond the date, he laughed. They're immensely, incredibly quick at responding to a question which they shouldn't be able to answer at all.
Yeah.
And he thought that she'd made a joke. Men cooking.
Yeah.
And then the wife got involved, and we had an hour's discussion about the relationship between men and women in the early colonies in Plymouth. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Which is great.
But it was theatre. And
half
the time you were sitting thinking, not these people live like this, but these are damn good actors.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And in this particular context as well, this is precisely what you will do.
Yeah. This is a good piece of theatre.
It's going to be a good piece of theatre, and with any luck, you'll wheel in a couple of actors to tell stories. Mm. Is that right, Andrew, or not?
Well, we can't afford living actors.
These are people on the island that want to do it.
Yeah. But we think with this, a lot of it's going to run on an audio, and that it's going to be good. I mean, if you like, the two things is you want a very good dramatic theatrical setting, and then the best BBC radio drama to happen in people's heads that we can get. And that's the brief to the AV people as well, is to do that, so that we'd get that combination.
Sonny Lumiere, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. But the first thing is when people walk in is to go.
That's right. As I hope you did when you went in the Big House.
Oh, yes. I mean, I think in many ways, you almost ought to direct people around that site to the small houses first, because they'll think, oh, this is what we thought they were like. You know, they're all right. Yeah, they're all right. You know. And then...
it's a big test of them.
It's probably seen bigger inside than outside.
Oh, much more so.
Yeah. But that's a function of the cone and cylinder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very odd. I mean, a circle is the cheapest way of confining space. But I never cease to be amazed, even though Dave and I built the thing. No, he took tours to build it. You still get a huge buzz when you walk through that door. Even that. And you think of it, Jesus, there's 32 ton by weight. perhaps 38 feet. And then you think of the Greek and Roman temples that they couldn't span, because they hadn't got the technology.
Mm.
And it's only when they found gypsum that they could create cement in the 3rd, 4th century that it changed.
You've almost, you wonder whether with this structure here, you've almost got a, like a retrograde step.
It's not as advanced as that.
No, it's almost going back and saying, we haven't got any reeds, what do we do? And they're going back to an arch structure which is taking dead load with lots of columns in it.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Which they want. You wonder if it is, you know, the people who came could build these, but actually were then doing this to solve a local problem.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
Mm. There's lots of interesting aspects to those structures that we can play with.
It'd be terrible if you found you just got rings and rings and a tiny little hut in the middle. Like a maze. It's a bus shelter. We'll take the grand view of this one, I think.
Yeah, it's a solution to a lack of thatch.
But is there Phragmites in abundance there?
No.
That's interesting. You've got stagnant zones or waterlogged zones and no river reed.
No reed.
I've never seen any standing reed anywhere.
It would be worth checking up on a paleobotany such as it might be, certainly the pollen cores, to see if you've got Phragmites there.
Yeah, you should do that.
Yeah.
How far north is Phragmites?
Oh.
I don't know, I mean, just I'm asking a dumb question.
Scotland,
does it
appear?
Yeah.
Just
finding
how far
north,
actually.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, apart from wheat straw, the only other stuff you've got is marram grass, or bent, as it's called in the island.
It's horrible stuff, man.
Yeah.
It's very thin.
It's used for thatching in the north of the island.
Yeah. We could use it as an under thatch for the turf.
Mm.
What's the tradition of turf buildings there, or turf roof structures?
It's traditionally assumed that medieval shearlings were roofed with turf.
Yeah.
You get turf-walled houses into, well, certainly the late 19th century.
Yeah.
And you know, undoubtedly there are buildings in the corners of farmyards and so on that have got earth walls and so on. You can get interesting composite buildings with stone gables and
turf
long walls and so on. Basically, because if you can guarantee the pitch of the roof and put a chimney through the gable as well, to killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
Certainly, yeah. I think I would suspect that if those forms of construction are continuing to the 19th century, then they probably
19th century BC
suggest that they're going.
Yeah. Oh, I would
right
too.
Back.
The only thing that troubled me was in Berceau's excavation, there is no reference to an overburden. And if it had a turf roof, the turf roof's gone somewhere, and the answer is vertical. And did he recognise it at the time? Because certainly he doesn't mention it retrospectively. But you would expect there to have been a layer.
Well, this is where the theory of why there are mesolithic flints above the...
That that makes admirable sense, you know, if you're gathering turf. The other interesting thing is I did some research some while ago which said that most of the deposits that you're going to get, arguably, as Darwin suggests, are going to be at the bottom of the worm salted topsoil. That's all right up to a point, but you'll also get stuff in the root bonded layer, the base of turf. And do you remember the experiment I carried out with black plastic? I've always been interested in the argument and have tried to prove that it's critical that the topsoil is an archaeological layer. You look at me a little bit askance. It's an archaeological layer insofar as whenever you excavate and you talk to an excavator, and it's happened to me too over the years, they say, get rid of topsoil, it means nothing. And then you say, where are all the finds from this site, which is bloody sterile except for post holes, in which you find in the post holes? They always all on the spoil heap. Well, if that's the case, then the topsoil has got to be a functional layer. Because prehistoric man lived on the same bit of surface that we're walking on now. Nothing has changed, really. It's not been eroded, it's not been blown away, certainly not in our climate. Therefore, you're going to find artifactual evidence in the topsoil. And so we carried out a long series of trials which said, how far does it move on the plan action? And the answer is about a meter. If it goes on random walkabouts, you'll lose about 10%, which is spread infinitely wide. But the other 90% is actually concentrated, which is why when you and I go field walking with people, we say, good Lord, we've got a Roman site here, because it's full of Roman bloody pottery. And yet that field has been ploughed for the last 2,000 years. And everybody said, but it's infinitely distributed, because the plough is an inanimate object which is going through it infinite number of times. Therefore it should spread. But it's not true, because if a farmer did that, half of Douglas would be now presumably underwater.
It just goes round and round in a small space.
That's exactly right. And the small space is about a metre from point of deposition. Therefore, if you excavate the topsoil, the artifacts you find in it can be associated to a very large extent, although definitely, with the features there under.
Did that this year. Luckily we had 80 students to break up all the topsoil.
Yeah, and did it work?
It was very interesting in how stuff came out.
Yeah. And was it associable with what was underneath?
Yeah.
Well, this is the point I've been making for yonks. Yeah, it's got to be true. But I have been a lone voice calling in the wilderness. Well, what's the next step then, gentlemen?
Well, the next, I think the next step is for me to go away and sort the budgets out on Yam and come back with a figure and say, given, first thing I'll have to do is talk to Stephen and say that I'm going to do that, just for protocol's sake. But I think that'll be the next step, is I'll come back with almost a formal letter which says, this is what we propose, this is what can be achieved, because we'll have to satisfy Frank's law, which means we have to prove that you are the and one and only person who could possibly do this if we don't put it out to tender. Which is a difficult thing to tender one of these, so we can just prove it's so specialist you don't have to do that, but I still have to show that I've done due process. So I'll go through those hoops, and hopefully within 5 to 10 days, I would have thought at the very outside, I can get you a piece of paper which you can really start thinking about whether it's feasible.
Okay, well, that's feasible.
Yeah, I mean, but financially, I mean, that's the fact.
I need a global sum from you which says I will get X, whatever it is.
And I'll also describe exactly what we said today as the process we wish to do it by.
And you don't have an initial idea of what kind of money that would be?
No, I've really got to, there's so many complex, because at the moment what we're talking about essentially is, to keep it simple, the skeleton structure. I need to pull some other bits out of figures I've got in my head at the moment and just make sure. I don't want to give you a figure and then find I'm wrong.
Yeah, okay.
So that I can probably float to you within 2 days, but it won't get a formal letter from.
No, well, don't do that. For the simple reason that my movements now, tomorrow night I disappear.
So you're away for
I go to Turkey and I'm away for 2 weeks. Then I'm back for a week. So during that week I'm back, if you like, give me a bell or send me a fax.
I will make sure that there is something here for when you get back, and I'll call you when you get back as well.
Okay. And it's a case of you'll be dealing with me and not with the farm. Okay?
Yeah.
Which is the better way around. And you really want a piece of letterhead, don't you?
Let me get the one of them.
These can stay. I bought these as spare stuff. Lovely.
No, I just don't have, of course, a card. Anyway, if they question the sort of qualifications, especially the professional ones, I remember the Institute of Field Archaeologists. Well, you know this, don't you?
Yeah.
It's not application of running all that seems like. If I'm not well enough known, I never will be. Eh?
Your green card.
The green card, yeah. Have you seen these?
It's the access into America.
Green card.
It's a green visiting card. There was a special deal done by a printer some years ago. It's taking out any colour. And I had a whole lot of cards done on green, which was rather nice.
In the meantime, I think what we need to do at our end is think quite a lot about the scenario and of what it is we're trying to create inside.
Yeah.
I think because that will very much then control our coming back to you with questions which I suppose broadly could be termed to do with set dressing.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's one thing I was thinking. What we may need to do is, besides the construction, is put an element in of X number of days for research or assistance for providing information in regard to. I don't know whether you want me to do that. And that's something I need to talk to Stephen about, is whether it's coming out of the capital budget or whether it's coming out of any other budgets that you have set aside. But
general engine money has already been
raided, has it?
Well, bashed.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if Stephen says it comes out the capital budget, it comes out the capital budget. I mean, it doesn't matter.
But
my money anyway.
But those, you know, I think, again, when it comes to dressing the scene, it's something we can all argue about and come up with an end product which would be useful. But my ambition, if you give me the go-ahead and the money's right, then it would be an ambition here anyway to get the guts of this done as soon as possible, in the sense that A, we want it to weather so that it has that feeling of usage.
Yeah.
B, we all need as a group to look at it in terms of space and what it means. So I would be anxious to set out, you know, the plan that you've got across there, which I presume is a detailed and exact copy of the archaeology.
All we've done is taken the archaeological report.
So I can work from your plan.
Yes, and we'll drop that directly into the building.
Yeah. So in fact, what we'll do is drop that plan on the site, and we will erect posts accordingly with the rings in place. And I would be looking to try and get that done by Easter next year, as being a realistic target. Maybe before. If I got it done before, then I'd give you a bell and say, you know, Christ's sake, come on over and we'll spend the weekend bashing the back. Because the winter is a good time for me, rather than the springtime. The springtime, suddenly everything goes crazy. You know, since April, my feet haven't touched the ground, which has been a case of rolling it. I try and do everything and anything. But you do get a chance in the wintertime to suck on a glass of port and, you know, generally think about things. And it's oddly enough more comfortable to do that, so we could spend maybe a weekend, and I can put you up here if you're prepared for simple accommodation. Maitres d'hôtel. So we could do things like that, but I think you would need that kind of barnstorming exercise. I personally like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I like team. People always accuse me of being totally arrogant, and it's not true. because I think team discussions are where you make real progress, because there's argument. Whereas a deus ex machina is a pain in the arse.
Happy?
Yeah.
Like they've gone somewhere.
Yeah.
So.
You can leave these with you.
Yeah,
so
please.
Yeah.
And I'll
food thought.
By
yeah.
the time you get back, I'll get you a pack of other stuff that goes with it. So you just got a sense of where this all fits in.
Yeah, that would be great. And as I say, all I need then is just confirmation that you want me to do the job.
Yeah.
I think I sent you our glossy brochure straight away. It would just give you an outline of exactly what was going in.
If you did, I can't remember it.
Right.
That's the nicest
the huge
way.
One.
Yeah.
You tend to notice it, don't you? It tends to take three people to lift it.
Don't think if you did send it, sweetie, it didn't bloody well arrive.
It's right. A3 and it's thick, isn't
no,
it?
No, it's not.
Oh, not the big.
Not that one, I mean the square glossy one that we produced to actually take to me.
Oh, right.
But you know, anything that just that fits me into it as you think I need to be fitted.
Do you know Coffee Clay, the Iceni village? What's it like?
Oh,
horrible. That's all right. I drove past it the other day thinking I must go there.
Well, good, well, do. You know, I think it's nonsensical.
Yeah.
The thing that always pisses me off about nearly all these things is that people go away and make a roundhouse, and it's a growth industry building roundhouses, right? And nobody will ask two questions. First of all, why? And secondly, what can I feed back into the archaeology of the excavation? You know, and without those two questions being answered satisfactorily, there's a waste of time. Because all you're pissing around is Disney World. And frankly, that's doesn't help any. A roundhouse is a roundhouse, you know. And I find that whole element rather sad, because they spend just the same amount of money. You know, for an extra, I don't know, 200 quid, you could actually ask a scientific question of the thing.
I think it's an intriguing exercise, this, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, all of these galleries are making everybody rethink what they thought about the island.
Yeah.
So the exhibition has that function, if nothing else.
Yeah. But you know, just like it was mind-boggling to go into that big house, which I didn't want to be with you when you went in there at all. I mean, it's going into the beginning of this gallery and just going through the entrance and seeing a forest of timbers, right, with a focal point, is going to be quite remarkable.
Well, I still believe that since the demise of railway travel and going to church, until the coming of the shopping mall, general public never went into big buildings. They'd lost the habit of going into big buildings.
Yes, yes, I
especially
right.
in this country particularly.
Yeah.
We had gone away from big buildings.
Yeah.
You didn't have to go to the town hall. You didn't go to the railway station. The only buildings we knew were domestic scale.
Yeah. Except for open plan offices.
But they're very much...
They're slots, but they're...
Yeah.
You know, and people didn't feel comfortable in those either.
But they're actually not as common as people think. I mean, still most people's offices are now like rabbit warrens, aren't they, wherever you go.
Which is great.
Yeah.
You feel comfortable in
a
little hole.
Yeah. I think the most frightening places I've been are places like the 1930s boots factories and things in Nottingham, where they are these huge, there's the one that's built on a spiral ramp like the Guggenheim Museum. It's like 1930s German films, you know, expressionist films, you know.
Yeah. But this is, I think you'll find visitors will be deeply disturbed by this. Deeply disturbed.
I mean, yes. I think they will think that awful things could happen in there, just because it's a...
Because
it's going to be a weird shape, because you won't... I mean, it's going to be like in being inside a slightly multi-stemmed mushroom with this very low, flat...
Yeah.
And then all the veining, it's going to look like a huge cluster of mushrooms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very strong. I don't think any of us have really got a sense of what it could be, will be like to stand
That's
in.
Right. Well, with any luck, as I say, if we get the go-ahead on this, then we will get a perception of what it might be like, in terms of certainly framework.
Yeah. I think it also starts to develop the thoughts if we carry on with whoever's talking in there, this idea of telling tales of myths and things, and stories.
some heavy material, you'll get fantastic acoustics.
It'll be absolutely dead, won't it? It'll just absorb everything.
And I'll tell you something else we could do, which would be fun. I don't know if you have a resident harpist on the island, or anybody who plays the harp.
Yep.
Ask him to come along to a party and bring his harp with him. The point being, we've actually had a harpist in not this big house, but the previous one, the one you were a student. And the noise is absolutely wonderful. You'd think it would kill it stone dead, but it doesn't do it. It's the most amazing sound that you will ever hear. It's beautiful. It's exciting stuff, isn't it?
The other thing I really liked about walking into that house today was just the smell.
Yeah, beautiful.
It was just,
yeah. And that's
something.
Richard, as in Magellan.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah.
Hi there, mate. Oh, fine. And bless you very much for the Magellan. And can I have it back when they've counted it? Oh, wonderful. Are you in good order, dear boy? I shall be about the rest of today. And that I include about 3/4 an hour. I'll be here tomorrow until 5 o'clock at least. Yeah, because then I've got to go to Turkey tomorrow night. Yes, of course I am.